My name is Faustino Garcia.
Where are you from?
I'm from McAllen, Texas.
How old are you? USA? 83 years old. Okay, what year did you go into the service?
I know the year that I came out.
What year was that?
1945.
Okay, what led you to join the service? Did you have to join or?
Join what?
The service. Like, why did you join the military? Did you want to join or you just joined because? Did you get drafted?
Yeah, I got drafted.
Drafted, so everything.
I got drafted.
That's why you joined. Okay, what was your rank, your job?
Corporal.
You were a corporal?
A corporal. On 327 Bombardment Squadron.
What was your reaction towards the war when you found out there was a war?
What?
How did you feel about the war?
The war. I think it was a war that had to be fought in order to had to be fought for the freedom of the people.
Did you have any regrets about joining?
No.
No. You were going to do it for you?
I was very happy to get served when I came out here.
So you wouldn't go back? If you had to do it again, would you do it all over again?
Well, I right after I came home, I said to myself, why didn't I stay in the Army? Why didn't I stay in the Army? Why did I have to come home? I could have made the Army my career.
You didn't mind it at all?
No.
Okay. How old were you when you were at the time of World War II?
How old I was? Mm-hmm. I was 24.
So that was you were young.
Well, you can see all right, that's okay.
Were you married?
No, I wasn't married, I was a bachelor. But I had Bolivia in my mind at the time.
But you weren't married yet?
No, I wasn't married yet.
How did you keep in touch with your family? I mean, did you write letters?
Oh yeah. I was a very good letter writer. And I had some pretty good people here that answered me right away.
So that's how you kept in touch with your family? Where did you work? Do you remember your station at the time?
Where did I work?
I mean, like, at the time of the war, where were you stationed?
Well, I forgot the name of the places it's been about 55 years, you know. And I was stationed in England at the start. I knew the names of the bases where I served, but I don't remember any of them anymore.
Where would you sleep? I mean, did you have a bed or?
Oh yeah, we had a barracks, you know, and each soldier had his cot. In the winter time, we didn't suffer any. We didn't suffer any cold. In the summertime, we didn't suffer any any hardships.
So you were comfortable. I mean, you had a place to sleep.
Yeah, we had a place to sleep and a place to eat. And not bad.
And what types of food would you eat? I mean, there was no hamburgers.
Your food wasn't fast.
What?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
I don't know. Let's see. I can remember some of the best food that I like, you know. We used to, in the morning, we used to have a, what they call it? Not fried eggs in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And then the noon, we used to eat lamb chops. I forgot what we used to have in the Los Angeles. I had it. We had it. It wasn't a picnic, but we didn't suffer any hardship at all. We were hungry, cold, or hot, or in other words, I had a job to do,
right?
And that's radio operator.
What was your job? Was it just an operator? Like, did you ever come in contact with the people? No, my contacts were with the pilots.
That used to fly back and forth between England and Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you were just radio. I mean, you would just talk to them over the radio,
We used to communicate with each other by Morse code.
So you had to learn Morse code?
Yeah. I had to go to radio school. And it took 14 weeks.
So that was before the?
Before here in the United States, before going overseas. You had to go to 14 weeks. I guess it's 14 weeks. In other words, long enough to learn the Morse code and learn it enough to measure it by speed.
Was it
happy? No, it wasn't. Well, it was tough because some of the instructions we got were at night, in the middle of the night, because of some chiefs, you know, some soldiers took it these hours and some other soldiers took it the next shift and so on. And so when my turn fell on a midnight, the graveyard shift. that was a little wrong, not too much.
So then you learned, you went to school for that, and then you went to war?
Yeah, once I graduated from radio school, I was shipped to New Jersey. Is that the name of the state, New Jersey? Yeah. And we to wait to be shipped overseas. We spent there maybe a week or two before there was a boat to take us overseas across the ocean. When the time came to sail, we went on the Queen Mary. Queen Mary was a big English or British boat, you know? on the way back, we sailed in the Queen Mary, another big boat, you know, luxury boat. They used to make it to ship soldiers. He was stripped of any luxury, you know. But when the people, when they used to use them for tours or for tours or something like that, he was a beautiful inside and.
Okay. Were you ever wounded at the war?
Did I ever what?
Did you ever get wounded?
No.
No.
Never wounded.
Do you remember how long you were there?
Huh?
How long were you there at the war?
How long did I stay over
there? Were you there the full time? Was it started to the end or?
We spent some time in England, and then we spent some time in France. And shortly after we moved to France, we were expecting, that was when the Germans surrendered. That's when we went to France. And shortly after that, the high command was talking about getting ready to go to Japan, see? Because the Japanese were still fighting. But then we were there in eastern France, that's southern France, close to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. We suddenly heard the news that the Japanese had surrendered, so there's no more war. Okay? Immediately, the government started to prepare us to come back home. I don't know. I was. We were glad that the war was over. There was a lot of reaction. Boys kissing girls without knowing them, you know, and all that stuff here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But over there, where I was, there was nobody to kiss. So we took it in stride, you know.
I know it was a hard time for you, but
we came home, you know, and the USO, you know what who the USO is? It's people that make the soldiers comfortable. It's a big organization. And when we landed in New York, the first thing that they did was give us a glass of milk. They knew that we were thirsty for fresh milk, you know. So that's what they did. And from then on, we went to a place where we were going to be discharged. Well, we were, como se dice la palabra, we were processed. I think it was this one here and all those papers. Got all ready to come home. I forgot the name of the place where that took place, you know. I don't remember where it was. But anyway, they put us on the train and came home. That's it. What else?
I mean, I know you don't like talking about it, right?
Where I work nowadays? Mm-hmm. Where I work?
No, I'm saying, like, I know you don't like talking about the war. Like, I mean, that was something like in the past. Yeah. Is there anything else that you think is important that you want people to do? We want to know.
No, I don't. I can't think of anything else to. I thought this was the main thing of my story, but I guess it's not. Can I read this?
Yes, read it.
Radio operator, AAF, which means Army Air Force. I started with the 227 Bomb Squadron, 92nd Bomb Group, in the European Theater of Operations. That's how I was in charge of that theater. Operated radio set in a direction finding station on air bases. Communicating weather, direction, and related flying information to airplanes. Sent and received messages in the International Morse Code. Sending speed 18 words, one per minute. Receiving speed 18 words, one per minute. And other assignments, communicated with other ground stations. Perform monitor service, receiving reports from planes traveling cross country. That's it.
So you had to tell the pilots that they could fly, right? Like you would tell if the weather was okay, they would fly, right? And then you communicated with the other two places.
No, the main job. In our job, the main job that we used to do, because the American bombers, in the morning, they would fly with bombs, you know, to drop in Germany. When they did that, drop the bombs, and started coming back, they would need a bay to guide them back to our base, and they asked for bay, and we used to give them the number, you know, that they follow, and then the British Air Force. They used to fly when at night, because they had equipment to bomb at night, some kind of radar or something. So they went over there and dropped their bombs in Germany. But on the British bombers, we didn't have. We didn't have anything to do with it, for the American bomb. What else?
I
people, well, not a lot, but some of the people, when I came back home, they would say, "Hey, that's a good trade you learned in the army. Why don't you look for a job here, in your town or in the valley, that we could use
that's what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, I guess the profession that I learned in the army didn't have a demand in the valley or in McAllen, because I never was solicited for that kind of work. Okay.
So what did you do after you came back? I mean, what did you do? Did you get a job?
Well, I fooled around a few days, you know, drinking beer and all that stuff, celebrating the end of the war, you know. After a while, I got tired of that, and I started thinking of a more serious thing. You know. So, I started looking for a job, so I got a job. I worked in that job for 34 years. And that job.
What was that job?
The job that I used to do took place in a roof printing job. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of things, reproducing maps and reproducing this stuff. That's the kind of job that I did for that long.
So before the war, what were you doing? Did you have a job before you left?
Well, before the war, I was, you could say that I was very young.
Then mm-hmm. You didn't have a job
yet. I didn't have a steady job at the time.
Did you finish high school?
No, I finished. What's the name of it?
Junior High.
Junior High. I finished junior high. That's eighth grade, right? Okay. Eighth grade. And then when I started next year, going to school for ninth grade, mm-hmm. I dropped out.
Why?
Yeah?
Why did you drop out?
Well, I don't know.
School wasn't for you.
The times were not proper for me to go to school.
Did you have family? I mean, you had, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, I had my father and mother, and I had three brothers.
Those
three brothers were younger than I was.
Did they fight at the war?
Yeah. The other three, they served in the army.
All four of you were at the war?
Yeah, at the same time. One in the Navy, two in the Navy, and one in the Army. And I was in the Air Force. And you know what? I'm the oldest of the four brothers. And I'm the one that still lives. The other three already have died. And of course, it wasn't a picnic for my father and mother, you know, when we were all four of us were in the army at the same time. I don't know how, what they went through during that time.
So all of y'all got drafted? Huh? All of y'all got drafted?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, maybe one of my brothers a volunteer, I don't know. But anyway, they all sort.
No, you have to sign up for it, right? They don't draft
anymore. No, they at first, like it happened to my youngest son, you know. When he turned 18, he was required to register with the draft, with the army. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether they still have that or, but my younger son registered. I don't think they have it that anymore.
I don't think so. Unless there's a major war, like.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is the end of my interview. I want to thank you for letting me interview you.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.